Thank you so much. It is just a joy to be able to share with you some hope and humor this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll be reading from the New Living Amplified Paraphrase King James Watkins Version for Writers. If it's not in your Bible, it'll be on your screen. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If a writer should say, because I've not been published in Christianity Today, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were writing for guideposts, who would write for take-home papers? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many kinds of writers, but one body. Now, if you're taking notes, point one is, you have an important role in Christian writing. How many of you believe that you do indeed have an important role in Christian writing? Great. Most people are just kind of... Now, writers' conferences, however, are the absolute worst place for you to feel important. Because here's what happens. You visit the website and you look at the brochure, and there are important writers who have written New York Times best-selling books, and they've won major awards. And we're not talking about leg lamps here. They have spoken to thousands around the world. And you're sitting there and you've not been published in the New York Times bestseller list, and you have not won major awards, and you've not spoken to thousands around the world. And to be perfectly honest, I look at the Blue Ridge faculty bios and wonder, what am I doing here this morning? Okay, I do have some books with Zondervan and Tyndale and Moody, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But most of my books are with small houses. Yes, I've spoken around the world, but mostly in concrete buildings with tin roofs and in circus tents. Please no comments about clowns. And while four of my books have won national awards, I have not had one single bestseller. Hi, I'm Jim. I'm critically acclaimed and commercially ashamed. Do I have a witness? So if you're feeling a little overwhelmed and underqualified, I feel your pain this morning. The most painful experience I had was at a book signing in Seattle, sitting next to Frank, this present darkness Peretti. Yeah. I had one or two people in line at all the time, and he was over there with this line that went back to Nebraska going, Frank, 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 Frank. I was writing these little essays like, dear friend, thank you for stopping by. If you'll just stand there a few more minutes until someone else comes, I won't look like a complete loser. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, here comes another person, 3 John to Jim. So you're not alone if you're sitting here at Blue Ridge feeling just a little unimportant. But here's the most important thing I want to share with you this morning. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If you have your Bibles, circle that word, name God, and then I want you to underline the word arranged. God has arranged the body of Christian writers. And God has you right where he wants you right now. And I hope and pray that you feel loved, you feel accepted, you feel safe here, because it is so easy to feel all alone as a writer out there in the real world. But here, you are with your fellow very peculiar people. Amen. Now, when you speak in churches in India, the honored guests are outfitted with this gigantic floral arrangement around your neck, so you look like a Kentucky Derby winner. Plus, you have to take your shoes off whenever you go onto the sacred platform. So here I am, the only white man in the entire church, about 300. I'm dressed like a winning thoroughbred in my sock feet, and they suddenly start singing, Lord, I lift you, your name on high. And suddenly I realized I belong. I am with my brothers and sisters. Wearing a silly floral wreath, but I'm with my brothers and sisters. I felt that same way on our 2 trips to Africa. I was with my brothers and sisters. Okay, I was the white brother who couldn't dance, but I still was with family. And so it's easy to lose our sense of importance with three deadly C's. The first C is comparison. Again, back to the conference website or the printed brochure. Maybe you're thinking, I haven't written X number of books. I haven't been interviewed on the 700 Club or Harvest Show or whatever. I haven't spoken to a stadium full of people, so I must not be an important part of the body of Christ. So write this down. Or excuse me, we move on to copying. I'm going to write like Max Lucado. I'm going to get on national talk shows. I'm going to be a great Bible teacher like Beth Moore. And when that inevitably fails, we move to the third level, and that is criticizing. We move from feeling inferior to feeling superior to them. Well, I can write better than E.L. James. Well, anyone can write something better than Shades of Gray. But you might say, well, I'm a better speaker than, you know, fill in the blank. But I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of Galatians 5, 4-5. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Because let me tell you, comparison is the killer of creativity. And we're going to talk about individuality in just a moment. But for now, you may want to write this down. I am important because not because of who I am, but because whose I am. I am important not because of who I am, but because of whose I am. Give that a second to sink in. Because it may be the most important thing you hear all week at Blue Ridge. More important than write tight, more important than show, don't tell, avoid adverbs, maybe even more important than develop your brand and platform. My very funny friend, Jeanette Lavelle, has written two hilarious books. She reminds us, God has already defined you. You don't need others to tell you who you are. Is that good? You want to write that down too. The founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, had this important thing to say. Many Christians are in the place that the Lord has appointed them, and yet the devil is harassing their lives with a sense that they are not quite pleasing to the Lord. Anybody ever felt that way? You feel like you're right where God wants you to be, but there's still that feeling, that's not pleasing the Lord. If they would just settle down in the place that God has assigned them and fill it faithfully and lovingly for Him, there would be more joy in their hearts and more power in their lives. But you have an important role to play in Christian writing. But the enemy is ruthless. If he can't convince you you're not important, he's going to try to make you feel that you're more important than you really are. So look at verses 15 to 18. A writer for Decision cannot say to a writer of the church newsletter, I don't need you. And the best-selling author cannot say to the one who writes letters to the editor, I don't need you. On the contrary, those writers who don't command six-figure advances are indispensable. And the writers who don't appear on the cover of Today's Christian Woman deserve equal honor as those who do. And the writers who are never interviewed on Christian talk shows are just as necessary as those in the spotlight. Now, Paul is incredibly honest with us in acknowledging there is an earthly hierarchy in churches and especially in Christian publishing. In Christian publishing, there are A-level authors and there are B-level authors, and then there are the unpublished. So we need to maintain that careful balance that I am incredibly, incredibly important, but I'm not more important than anyone else, despite what the world may say, and especially what the Christian publishing world may say. So let's move on to verses 24 to 26. But God, there's that word again, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. So there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part receives a rejection slip, every part suffers with it. If one part signs a contract with Tyndale House, every part rejoices with it. So point two, if you're keeping score at home, you have an interdependent role in Christian writing. When I was directing another Christian writers conference on the East Coast, one of the faculty members came, sat down beside me, and says, Jim, I'm working on my novellas about women in the Bible, and I was wondering if I could bounce some ideas off you. And I went, excuse me? Yeah, I respect you, and I'd like your opinion. Well, I I guess. That woman was our keynote speaker, Francine Rivers. Francine Redeeming Love Rivers. And I met her just recently at Mount Hermon when she was there as a conferee. She said, I can always learn something new. And she asked me, Jim Watkins, to pray for her as they were working on a major A-list film of Redeeming Love. And that's the beauty of Christian publishing and the body of Christ, that we are all in this together. We are one part. We are interdependent. The King James Version translates 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now that verse has been used as a Louisville slugger to swing away at anyone who is defiling what they think is the proper way you should treat your body. But the King James translation fails to take into consideration that in the Greek there are two separate words for you. And if you're from the South, you know that difference. You is singular, y'all's plural. And the New Living Translation acknowledges that. Paul's using y'all. Don't you realize that y'all together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in y'all? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and y'all are in that temple. That verse is not talking about the human body at all. It is talking about the temple, the body of Christ. So Paul is telling us, not to take care of our bodies. I mean, we need to. That's, you know, enough said about that. But we should take care of each other. You're important, all right, but you are interdependent. Y'all's a part of the body of Christ, and y'all's need to take care of each other. Gone are the days of Emily Dickinson where you could stay at home, be a recluse, and still be a best-selling author. Publishing is now a relationship between you and your readers, and that's why building your tribe with social networking is so important. If building your tribe and social network, those words just do not resonate with you, SethGodin.com is a wonderful place to go. SethGodin, G-O-D-I-N.com. It's a relationship between you and your agent in planning your writing career and choosing the products or projects that best suit your brand. My agent has actually rejected offers from publishers because they don't fit my brand. It's a relationship between you and the publisher. Editors are not cold-hearted people. That would be the marketing minions. No. Even the marketing people are part of the body of Christ and the writing body. And we all need to work like a body. But the absolute worst part to play that out is at the church. For instance, here's how your body, or here's how the church would work. Let me start that again. Take two. Don, cut this out. This is how your body would work if it acted like the church. Okay? So you're pounding in those little microscopic finishing nails on your paneling, and suddenly, how many sermons have you heard about fleeing even the appearance of hammers? That the love of hammers is the root of all evil. You were nearly to step 12 in HA, and you go and get yourself hammered. I'm sorry, but you brought this on yourself. I'm tired of your excuses. You just go away. Is that how your body works? No, this is how it works. Words of comfort. Words of comfort. Warm, protective fellowship. And, my apologies to my African friends, even good Wesleyans dance. That's how real bodies work. So, here's another paraphrase from the New Living Amplified Paraphrase, King James Watkins Version for Writers. Dear brothers and sisters, if another writer is overcome by passive verbs, You who are members of the writer's group should gently and humbly help that person back onto the path of action verbs. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself, using adverbs to prop up weak verbs. Gently critique and enthusiastically encourage one another as we follow the Word and the author of our faith. And why do we do that? Because we are a part of the same body. So treat your thumb, treat the thumb of the body as you would a human body. So when one part suffers, we all suffer. In the same way, when one is honored, we are all honored. Now, secular celebrities do a much better job of this. You know, on the red carpet, they are proudly showing off their designer gowns. They say, oh, I'm wearing Versace today. And once they win an award, you know, they have to thank their agent, their manager, their spouses, the Academy, on and on, until they're unceremoniously ushered off the platform when that music starts. And I don't know, do you have music here that when I'm about done? So when Jerry Jenkins sells another million books, he's my friend. He's a brother in Christ. I can rejoice with that. My friend Cece Murphy, Ghost wrote 90 Days in Heaven, and they've been filming in Atlanta, where Cece is from, and I've just been getting so excited for my friend Cece, because we are all part of the body of Christ. Sony Distribution is putting this film out, and so I can get excited about that. But I also need to hurt when my writer friend gets her 36th rejection for her proposal called Jesus Calling from the Purpose-Driven Shack. I think it's got some potential, but you know, she keeps getting rejection slips. But before we get too depressed, let's keep moving right along. Now, in the ministry of writing, God has appointed novelists, letter writers, those who have the gift of poetry, local church reporters, best-selling authors, devotional writers, those who write their legislatures, and those who have the gift of writing advertising copy. Are all novelists? Do all write letters to the editor? Do all have the gift of poetry? Are all local church reporters? Are all best-selling authors? Are all devotional writers? Do all write their legislators? Do all have the gift of writing advertising copy? No, but eagerly desire the greater gift of writing with love. So you have an important role in Christian writing because you are interdependent in this Christian writing world. And point three, you have an individual role to play in Christian writing. Paul writes, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. It's not an exhaustive list. There's also lists in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. But here's the point. Everyone is an individual in the body of Christ. The late great author Calvin Miller wrote of me, Jim Watkins is one in a million. Two in a million would be overkill. I think that was a compliment, right? But we all have a choice. I can be a second-rate Max Lucado, or I can be a first-class Jim Watkins. You can be an imitation Debbie McComber, or you can be an original you. Now, I tend to write and speak in a way that makes people squirm in their comfortable padded pews. So I'm a firm believer that writers and speakers are here to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I hope in your writing that's what you're doing. You are comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. So in the body of Christ, this is a little bit of discernment here, but I've discerned that in the body of Christ, I'm a hemorrhoid. Yep. I'm determined to exercise my gift and to be the world's best pain in the behind. Because God doesn't need another Billy Graham or a Karen Kingsbury or whoever you wish you were. He needs you to be you. And as scary as it sounds, he needs me to be me. In the words of that great theologian, Theodore Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss, today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you. And the closer you get to God, you want to write this down too, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to being who he designed you to be. But how do we determine what is our role in the body of Christ? Well, I'm also an ordained minister, so I have a pat answer. It starts with the letters P, A, and T. Passion. Can you not write? Do you live and breathe to write? Would you write even if you weren't paid? I'm guessing you can answer yes to that because you took vacation time and maxed out your credit card to be here. Writing is your passion. Affirmation. Has someone other than your mother, best friend, or spouse affirmed your writing? Have you been published in a paying market? Now, be careful on this one, because even though I started out writing as a sophomore in high school, I won a national award as a sophomore in high school, writing for my paper. I started writing a humor column my junior year in high school, got an award for that. Even though all those things happened, I got to college, and in freshman composition, I got a C. A C. And so I stopped writing for publication from 1972 to 1982. 10 years wasted because some college professor decided I was a grade C writer. I would like to take my solid walnut and brass Campus Life Book of the Year award and smack him side of the head. But I'm not bitter. I've actually got 3 books published on composition, and oh, there they are on the screen right now, also available in the bookstore. Communicate to Change Lives is the only book that I know of in the Christian market that teaches the biblical and the behavioral principles for persuasion. And I think writing is just too much effort to not feel that we are changing lives with our writing. Writers on Writing is kind of a who's who of writers sharing their secrets to publication. I put together this great team of Jerry Jenkins, Liz Curtis Higgs, James Scott Bell, about 30 other professional agents, publishers, and it's kind of like a writer's conference between two covers. And then Writing with Banana Peels, Principles, Practices, and Pratfalls of Writing Humor. You know, there are actually 100 university studies that show that humor actually increases your effectiveness as a writer and speaker. It increases your attention, your comprehension, and your retention. And the best news is Tori Martin wrote the foreword, which is better than the book. And I am so glad I don't have to follow Tori. This is wonderful. Thank you for doing that. In vaudeville, they said never follow children or dog acts. And in Christian publishing, it's never follow Tori Martin. So anyway, so you can get 2 autographs for the price of one with this book. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. The idea of affirmation. If those who can write, write. Those who can't write, edit. And often... Whoa, sorry. Okay, I'm an editor. I'm kidding. And if you can't do writing or editing, then you teach. So, have I managed to not offend anybody today? I'm sorry. But affirmation. If you're receiving good professional critiques, if you're being published, then you can check yes to affirmation. And finally, talent. Does writing seem easier to you than most people? Were you the one kid in class who, when they said, okay, I want you to write a term paper, it has to have 3 footnotes, you were excited and went, whoa! All right, I'm with my people here this morning. And have there been those divine moments when you write something and you look back at it and you go, wow, that had to be God. To me, that is creation ex nihilo. That is bringing into the world something that didn't exist before. And to me, that is the joy of being a Christian author, is to sense that I have a holy ghostwriter. And so when your passions, your affirmations, your talents all converge, that's probably where you are going to live out your purpose. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. God created you to be you. So in review, you have an important role to play in Christian writing. You have an interdependent role to play in Christian writing. And you have an individual role in Christian writing. But like any good novel, this talk has a surprise ending. The original text of the Bible is not broken up into chapters and verses. It's just one solid block of text. So if you're ever on Jeopardy, and the final answer is, it's the first English Bible to be divided into chapters and verses, you would write, in the form of a question, of course, what is the Geneva Bible of 1560? So as you read 1 Corinthians 12, Paul doesn't take a breath between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 13. So earnestly desire the most helpful of all the writing gifts. But now let me show you a way of writing that is best of all. If I write with the pen of the psalmist and win national book awards and donate all my royalties to the poor, but have not love, I'm only a clattering printer or a pounding four-color offset press with burned-out bearings. Where there are magazines, they shall cease publication. Where there are speaking venues, they shall pass away. Where there are websites, they shall crash. But love never fails. Amen. So here's what blows my little mind right out my ears, is that John writes in chapter 4 of his letter, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." John also writes in his gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The author and finisher of our faith has now given you and me the responsibility to take the Word, to put it into our words, and now we are the authors of faith." You are important. You are interdependent. You are individual. But most of all, wait for it, you have an incarnational role in Christian writing. I'll give you a second to let that sink in. I'll wait to see the little whiffs of smoke coming out your ears. But I'm not diminishing the role of preachers and missionaries, but writers have an exponentially more influence and longevity. The average church in America runs less than 100 people. And as a magazine writer, you're going to reach 1,000 times that number in just one article. And unless the sermon is recorded and posted online, it stops reaching new people the second the pastor says amen. But as a writer, your work continues for years and years in public and personal libraries, in waiting rooms, in bathroom magazine racks. Thomas Akempis's Imitation of Christ is still in print 500 years after he wrote it, and it is still the number two best-selling book in the entire world. 500 years. And even if your book goes out of print, this is what you really need to understand. When your book goes out of print, it doesn't mean it goes out of existence. It's still there in homes and church libraries and garage sales. I recently received this email. It says, "I cannot tell you how much the reading of the three chapters that I did just before writing you meant to me. I am so thrilled with the way the Lord has gifted you, not only your writing, but primarily your love for Jesus and the deep spirit-filled way that you have written this book." It was from India, concerning a book that had gone out of print 20 years ago, on a day I was feeling especially unimportant. And so without the written word, Christianity would have never made it past the first century. The writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preserved the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The writings of the church fathers, such as Augustine, gave a systemized theology. It kept heresy at bay. And as a relationship with a living Christ slowly dissolved into a religion of works and legalism and profiteering and politics, Catholic writers like Thomas Akempis reminded us of the pure, intimate relationship that we need to have in his Imitation of Christ. Martin Luther's 96-point thesis reminded us that salvation is by faith and faith alone. And today, holy men and women are using pens and pixels to write the love of God on the hearts of followers of Jesus and seekers of Jesus. So you are a part of the parade of published writers over the last 2,000 years. I'll be the guy in the miniature clown car, but you are in that parade. So if you're feeling small and unknown and overwhelmed among the published or more published people here at Blue Ridge, remember that you are important. You are interdependent. You are individual. And that includes you. And you. And I feel like I'm Oprah giving away cars. And you, and you, and you. You're important. You're interdependent. You're an individual. And as mind-blowing as that seems, y'all's an incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so for me, writing is an act of worship. It's acknowledging the important, indispensable role that a hemorrhoid in the body of Christ has been given. It's fellowshipping with other writers, agents, editors, publishers as an interdependent part of his eternal work. That's what I love about writers' conferences. It's rejoicing in the individuality that God has uniquely, personally, lovingly crafted you to be as his writing instrument for his glory. and is shaking with holy joy and fear that I am an incarnation of the Word of God. I want to close with each of us saying back to God aloud what he has already affirmed in his word of who we are. So if you would pray it after me, and then after we say amen, I want to give you just a few moments of silence to allow this to sink in, to allow the Holy Spirit to seal this message into our hearts and minds, so when we leave here, the enemy of despair and discouragement and self-deprecation will never, ever steal these biblical truths from our hearts. Let's stand and pray. And repeat these after me, if you would, please. Thank you that I am important. Thank you that I am interdependent. Thank you that I am an individual. Thank you that I am an incarnation of your holy word. Amen. Let's just have a moment of silence to let that soak in. Father, thank you for every writer and speaker in this room today. I pray that my earthly words have been used by your Holy Spirit to convince each one that he and she is important, indispensable part of your body. And when they begin to feel insignificant, Father, please give them a glimpse of the eternal influence that they are having on your kingdom. They are now marching in the 2,000-year-old parade of writers who have declared your word. Thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters in writing who truly get us and our passion for communicating for you. May we this week and always rejoice in our interdependence. May we rejoice this week with those who have received good news on their proposals and suffer with those who have heard does not suit our editorial needs at this time. Father, help us to love, support, and encourage our fellow writers and speakers as we love ourselves. Thank you, Father, that you have personally created each of us as a unique individual instrument to share your good news. And no matter where we may be in the human hierarchy of publishing, remind us that we have an important, invaluable part to play. Affirm us with your spirit, each and every one, as to his or her role. And thank you, Father, most of all, for the incomprehensible role we have as an incarnation of your word with our words. May we accept that weighty responsibility with holy fear, and our words indeed be your words. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. And everyone said, amen.